Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Amen, amen. Glad that y'all are here. Just listen to these words of promise. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, anything from a peril or even a sword. Skip on down. It says, for none of these things, for I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor anything created will be able to separate us from the love of God in which we are in Christ Jesus. That's the word of God. That's the promise you just sang about. So through our whole day today, that's where we're going to land. You may be seated for just a moment. And as we live this life, we live this promise. We go through all these different motions. We go back to school, right? Boy, there's no cheering. I figure the parents would just go nuts. But just, we get different routines. And so here we are at a new stage and age and so many chapters of all of our lives. And as we live this out, we celebrate and we love and live the life that Christ gives us. So today, that's what our promise is. It's a promise of hope. And as we travel through that, we're going to continue in our series, Living in the Promises. We're starting a little bit of a new portion of that series about a new heaven and a new earth. That's going to go on for several weeks, and we're going to talk about new physical bodies. We're going to talk about new spiritual bodies. We're going to talk about this new creation, the new heaven, and then we're going to end with a new earth. You're going to hear things no pastor has ever told you, and you know why I know that? I've grown up in church all my life, and no one ever told me, but it's all in Scripture. And so I really hope you'll come back and you'll hear those things. If you're a visitor today, if you're a guest with us, make yourself at home. You're a part of us. There's no strangers here. And we're just gonna worship the Lord. So, Lord, heaven, I just pray that today heaven would reign in our lives right here in this very moment. Lord, that your Spirit, Lord, would just infiltrate every word that we speak, every action that we take. Lord, there's no pretense about us. We're here just to love you. Whether we're joining online, wherever we are in the world, or whether we are in this room, Lord, we want to just worship you, and Lord, we want to hear from you, Lord, to change our lives. Lord, I want my life changed today. Lord, I want more of you. So let it be so for all of us. In the name of Christ, all the people said, amen. Praise God for teachers. Amen. Oh, well, with that little lackluster amen, y'all go to a classroom on Wednesday and take their place. Yeah. Thank God for teachers. Amen. Hey, there you go. Exactly. Exactly. And administrators and everybody else that's going to care for our kids in these coming months. I want to pray for our finances. You have an opportunity to give. I didn't put that link up there, but if you'll put the link up there for giving, and you can do that, or there's boxes out in the hallway on the walls, and you can give paper money or checks or whatever you want to in those as well. Just let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the opportunity to give. Lord, I know that's an oxymoron statement in our society, Father, that it's about what we take. But Lord, you are the provider of all that we have. Let us just recognize that. We do work hard. Father, we have different professions. We have different jobs. We have different tasks. But yet, Lord, it all comes from you. And Lord, you just ask for a little of it back. I pray that we would give to you what you ask for. And Lord, that you would use it to multiply your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to talk about living in the promises again, about a new heaven and a new earth. And it probably goes without saying that all of us are curious about heaven. Now, you may not express it that way. You may not ask those particular questions that way. But I think we all want to know at least what it's like, how the process works. What it's going to be, how are we going to be, all those different things. Now then, I don't really have the faintest clue of how that's all going to work, so that's the end of the sermon, and let's all go home. I don't have the faintest clue how it's going to work. I know what Scripture says. And I'm learning as I go about what Scripture says, because really I was so sincere when I say I didn't grow up with pastors talking about this. We talked about heaven in our household, but really only as the ultimate goal and end achievement of our life in Christ. Not about logistics, not about, sure, we talk about mansions and we talk about what we want our views to look like and how many rooms we want to have. Even Dallas says when he's doing good works or he's helping somebody or whatever, he says he's sending lumber up to heaven. Do y'all get what we're saying? Right. I mean, we think that somehow what we do here on earth really affects heaven. And I'm here to tell you that it does. And we're going to talk about those things. We're going to learn about those things. C.S. Lewis says this: "There have been times when I think we do not desire heaven, but more often I find myself wondering whether, in our heart of hearts, we have ever desired anything else." See, we say all the time that, at least in Christian circles, and this came from a great quote many, 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 many hundreds of years ago, there's a God-shaped hole in our souls. There's a God-shaped hole in our hearts. There's a God-shaped hole in our bodies, in our life, that we try to fill with other things. We try to fill them with family, with jobs, with money, with stuff, with mountain bikes, with whatever your hobbies are, with fitness, or with whatever. Some of us, food. We try to satisfy that God-shaped hole, and yet nothing's going to fill it except for God. And we don't really understand that until we understand that. And so I want to try to fill that God-shaped hole a little bit over the next couple of weeks as we talk about a new heaven and a new earth. And so if you want the notes, those are up on the screen, and you can text that phone number. I'll put the QR code up there in a moment. When you think about what God is talking about when it comes to heaven, when you think about prophecies and visions and even what Jesus said, this is where, is there anything I can do to fix that noise? Can y'all hear that? Oh, that's way better. Nope, it's not. I feel like there's Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader are behind me swinging lightsabers is what that sounds like. And I keep wanting to duck because it comes around. Isaiah speaks of a place where there's no more violence, where lions lay down with lambs, where there's no destruction. Jesus, our Messiah, he will be with us. Not just with us in spirit, but with us in body. There's no way around it. It's going to be glorious, okay? And here's why I trust what Isaiah says, and there's so much more. I mean, we would have to read pretty much all of Isaiah to get all of the prophecies about Christ and his first coming and his second coming. Is that, here's why I trust Isaiah. I mean, just, this is me. Anybody know the show me state license plate and state motto? I'm kind of the show me state when it comes to Scripture. Everything Isaiah said about Jesus' first coming all came true. So I'm pretty sure that whatever Isaiah says about Jesus' second coming and about eternity is probably also going to come true. There are visions of heaven from John. We started with that last week, and we're going to go back to it this week. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among the people, and he will dwell among them. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eye. There will be no longer any death. There will be no longer any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.' And he sits on the throne, said, 'Behold, I'm making all things new.' And he said, 'Write these words down, for they are faithful and true.' And then he said to me, 'It is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I will give water to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. The one who overcomes will inherit these things. I will be his God, and he will be my son.'" So for us, here's what I want to land with. I'm going to give you four of what we're going to talk about over the next 4, 5, 6 weeks, and then we're going to dive into those each week. I tried to cram it all in today. There's just no possible way to give justice and what's due to these, and so we're going to take them week by week. The first one is we're going to be made spiritually new. Now, that how do we get spiritually new when we go to heaven? It sounds like it's an automatic, whatever is going to happen is going to happen. But there is this renewal that takes place inside of each and every one of us. According to His promises, this is 2 Peter 3:13. According to His promises, we are looking for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. See, when we go to heaven, we become the righteous of God. Right now, we are righteous, but we're clothed with righteousness. We put on righteousness, or in reality, God puts righteousness on us in Christ Jesus. Now, why do you say that that's a difference? Because it really is different, okay? I mean, just think about it for just a moment. I want to go back to my former life of being a police officer. I mean, any of you can go out, especially these days. You can buy a uniform. You can have a badge made. You can carry a gun. You can put on the gun belt. You can buy all the trappings of being a police officer, of looking like a police officer, but that doesn't make you a police officer. Right? So when it's just like if you want to go sit in a garage, that does not make you a car. It just doesn't. Okay? And so what does this mean? Well, you can put all the things on and it allows you to look like and really act like that. Christ puts righteousness on us. We are transformed, but we're fully transformed when we get to heaven. We become the righteous of God. We dwell with Him. We become spiritually new. Romans 8:21 says this, "The creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the liberty of the glory of the children of God." See, we become that which God created us to be. A spiritual newness, a rebirth, as it were, once again, into the heavens, to be where God has always wanted us to be. God promises that His glory will be revealed in us. We will become the glory of God when we get to heaven. That's way different than where we are now, because we don't live up to that. And we will live up to it with every moment of the rest of eternity when we get to heaven. Think about it this way. So many of us in the room are married, okay? Some of us in the room might be engaged right now. Some of us look forward to that day, whatever. And as you think of that, see, engagement is really exciting. Engagement is we anticipate what's going to happen. Engagement is all the things that we think about that's coming for the marriage. But engagement is not the marriage. Now, track with me. If we lived our biblical marriages and engagement like God tells us to, right? Y'all just keep up without me just really going into detail, right? If we lived up to the biblical expectation of engagement and marriage, there would be so much more to come in the marriage that we don't get in the engagement. Y'all got me? We didn't all do that right. Amen? Okay, some of you are just confessed, and that's great. Right? See, but if we really did it the right way, and we got to know somebody, and we dated, and we held ourselves back, and we didn't do things we weren't supposed to do until we got married. Now the rest of you tracking me? Okay, see, now the light bulbs just went on. And then we got married, and we realized what all that was for and what all that was about. See, that's the difference between now and the new heaven. Because everything that we're living in Christ now, yes, we are the bride of Christ. But right now, the best way for me to describe it is we're engaged. There's more to come. There's better to come. But yet, at the same time, here's the great misunderstanding and the hard idea to grasp is it's really, we're really fully who God has called us to be right now, but yet there's more to come. See, it's the now, but it's the not yet. And we've said that for so many years, but right here is where it really comes true. Romans 8, 2, for the law of the Spirit of the life of, in Christ, Jesus, has set you free from the law of sin and death. See, we experience this, but we don't get to experience it all until later. We get a spiritual renewal, a new life in Christ. Then we become physically new too. And this is where we get really complicated and really hard. And this is where I went, there's no way we can do this in 30 minutes. Okay, so we're going to do it a little bit over time. Romans 6, 5. I've been united with Christ in a death like his. Then we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. It can't be more clearly stated than that. Is that we are going to die like Christ died, a physical death, but we're also united in Christ in his resurrected life. There's a physical death, and then there's another life coming, another resurrection. He will wipe away every tear from their eye, right? We just read it. You just saw it. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more pain. If there's not a physical life, if we don't have something, please, God, don't let me have this body again. Please, God, don't let me have this body again. Please, God, don't let me have this body again. But if it's like this body, which I'm pretty sure that somehow it is and somehow it isn't, but if it's not something that's a real body, then how can he wipe away a tear from my eye? Then how can there not be any more death? How can there not be any more mourning or crying or pain? Because I wouldn't be able to know there was a difference. We're going to get to that. Paul put it like this in Philippians 3, 20 through 21. Our commonwealth is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change the body from our lowlessness, to be like the body of his glory, according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. See, Isaiah, Paul, John, Peter, Jesus, so many others, they knew that there was a restoration coming. God was going to set everything right to the way that he intended it to be. And I think part of that is to be, we're going to restore like the Garden of Eden where everything was perfect. But then I also think that it's going to be vastly better than that. Vastly different. Vastly expanded. More than we could ever imagine. And then there's going to be a new creation. Genesis 8, 22, okay? In Genesis, I mean, from the very beginning, we find this is the way it's going to be. Genesis 8, 22, while the earth remains, day and night will not cease. But then we go to Isaiah 60, 20. Your sun will no longer set, nor will your moon wane, for you will have the Lord for an everlasting light. In the days of your mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, the days of your crying will be over. See, we're already talking about a newness. From the very beginning, there's been this idea that there's going to be something greater. From the very beginning, when Adam and Eve threw us into a curse of death and sin, God said, I promise there's going to be a restoration. There's going to be a newness. There's going to be a new life. And if there's going to be restoration of perfection, here's where it gets hard. Think about this. If there's going to be a resurrection of perfection, right, then imperfection has to be dealt with. God has to do something to get rid of the imperfect. God has to work out some way, somehow, for that to be changed in all of us. And I don't think God means that he's going to take everything, he's just going to wipe everything off the face of the planet. He's going to implode. There's going to be a great Star Wars scene, right, where Earth just explodes and that's the end of it. I don't think that's the way it works. Scripture doesn't really tell us that that's the way it's going to work. There are going to be things that are going to go away. There is fire. There is wrath. There is all of these ideas and understanding of dealing with the imperfection. But it doesn't mean everything goes away. Even in Isaiah, I'm going to jump ahead to the next couple of weeks. But even in Isaiah, it says, the former things will not be remembered. Okay? But then it goes right along and it says, you will not remember pretty much the sinful things, the hurtful things, the imperfect things. Which tells me that we remember the good things. We remember the perfect things. We remember the blessings. We'll get to that. Paul put it like this in Romans 8:21. Creation itself will be set free. Okay, we already said this, but creation itself will be set free from its bondage, from all the things that hold us back, from all the things that are getting us closer to heaven. By that, I mean all the things that are killing us. Every time I see a friend and their son or their daughter, you know, they're older, they're 14, 15, 16, 18, 20, 30, whatever it is, and, you know, we'll look at them, and or even if they see Macy, and they go, oh my gosh, you know, she's grown up, she's gotten so old, and I say, you know what that means? That just means you're getting a lot older. I'm not, but the rest of you are. No, see, God's going to set those things right. He's going to set those things right. And then here's where we're going to end in a couple of weeks. A new relationship. A new spiritual life. A new physical life. A new creation. A new earth. And a new heaven. And all of that means there's a new relationship coming with God. And what does that mean for us? John tells us this in verse 3 out of that Revelation passage. I heard a loud voice from the throne, right? And he was saying, behold, the dwelling of God is with us. See, it's not this thing where we have to get to God. This is this understanding, not an idea. It's an understanding that God wants to be with us. He wants to make everything right and everything perfect, and he wants us all to dwell together. And this is going to make you rethink theology of what our parents and our grandparents and our churches. If you've never studied Revelation, this is going to make you rethink everything about our life in eternity. And I hope my plan is that it's going to be a lot better than what you've thought about in the past. What happens, though, even for me, as I read, as I look at Scripture, and as I study them, and I go back to the references, it's hard for me to comprehend because I say, that's not what I thought. That's not what I was taught. That's really not what I hoped. That's really not the way I thought it was going to be. But it is better. It's just a new, right understanding. And you're going to have to stick with me to get through it because it is going to be different. And that's true with God is with us now. His Spirit dwells with us. He's talking about Him dwelling with us. Jesus living with us. Not just a spirit. And I know that so many of you, you were just so hoping that you were just going to be this disembodied, beautiful spirit floating around in heaven and just kind of being there. And I don't know what that was going to be like in your mind, but it's way more than that. And I'm really glad because it really brings some concrete evidence to what God has in store for us. Jesus promised never to leave us until the end of the age, but he says there is going to be the end of this age and then we'll be together. See, right now he's saying, I'm not going to leave you until we can be together forever. Then he goes on in 2 Corinthians. Paul says, we are not at home in this body. We are away from the Lord. Here we walk by faith and not by sight. See, if we walk by faith and not by sight now, then let's turn that around. And what does it mean when we get to heaven? Does that mean we walk by sight and we don't have to walk by faith anymore? There's a new life ahead of us. But yet, even as we live, there's a promise right now. It's a promise that He is with us. And we learn as we go and we grow until we get there. And as we grow, we become more and more like Him. Isaiah 65:17-19. I'll end with this today just for us to think about. This is what Isaiah, right? Isaiah 750 some odd years before Christ, and then, 800 or some odd years before John, and then now thousands of years before us, and all these things that are coming to pass, he said, behold, This is part of his vision that he had with God. I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things will not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem for rejoicing and her people for gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem, be glad in my people. And there will no longer be heard in her the voice of weeping or the sound of crying. And then we're jumping ahead to 66, verse 22. For just as the new heavens and the new earth, which I make for you, will endure before me, declares the Lord, so will your offspring and your name endure forever and ever and ever. See, there's a legacy. It's not just that we die and we're done and we get to float around in heaven and we all wonder if we're going to know people and who's going to be there and is my mansion going to be in a better part of town than yours? I assure you it is. I'm the pastor. I better get one. And I'm just absolutely kidding. And a little bit, but not really. And so what is it going to be? And what is this legacy? I mean, there's a legacy that's been created before now for you. There's a legacy going on in heaven that is going to continue with us and come to fulfillment when we all get together. Don't you want to know what that's going to be like? Don't you want to know maybe how that's going to look? And we have to imagine some of it, but we get to imagine it, we get to think about it in light of Scripture. And so in light of Scripture, we can have a holy imagination. Not something that's ill-informed, not something that we're just making up out of thin air. I mean, I don't know. I bet my idea of angels look different than your idea of angels. I'm quite sure your idea of God and my idea of God and Jesus and all that. I mean, we have different understandings. We have different the way we look at it. But let's have a foundation of Scripture when we do look at it. Because I'm going to say that, you know, you may say, well, Matt, your resurrected body is going to have less hair than it has now. And I'm going to say, no. I'm going to have a full head of hair, and I'm going to, you know, whatever it's going to be. I mean, we all have these different understandings. That's okay. But let's have the foundation rooted and set on the Scripture that God gives us. Let's look at His understanding of heaven, because that's the one we need. Let's look at His understanding of a new earth, a new heaven. Let's look at His understanding of a resurrected body, because that's where we will find the joy. That's where we'll find our strength. And that's where we will find how we can go on and move on and leave a legacy to the next generation until we can all be together again. So, starting in 2 weeks, we'll start with this idea of this new spirit, and then we'll go forward from there. Father, today, here's what I want for us. Lord, I want us to come to a place with you where we trust in you and your holy word. Or sometimes we have to dig deep. And Lord, and our own foundations are shaken just a little bit because we built on some wrong ideas. We built on some wrong theology. Because sometimes we just have to make it up as we go because no one ever told us and we never bothered to ask. And sometimes it's just so hard to understand and even imagine, then we want to stick to the easy stuff. We want to stay on the, Scripture says, we want to stay on the infant's milk, and we don't want to move to solid food. Lord, let us be brave. Let us be bold. Lord, as we follow you, just as the disciples did. Father, they had to come to a new understanding. Even after all they had been taught, let it be so for me. Let it be so for everyone else. Because that's how we are going to inherit the kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and let's close in worship. If you have anything that you want to just talk to God about, deal with the Holy Spirit, you can do that at your seat. You come up to the prayer rails. You can pray up here. If you'd like for me to pray with you or anybody else on staff, just let us know. We'd be glad to do that. We're just glad that you're here today.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.